Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Lynn Lou, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lose an incredibly frustrating and avoidable game against the Portland Trail Blazers by a score of 114-105 at Scotiabank Arena on Sunday. So where do I start with this game? The Raptors made a great comeback. Full credit to them in the comeback, and I will credit them in the comeback. But first, the reason they had to make this comeback, the reason they had to climb Everest in the first place, was because of the fact that the Raptors completely no-showed in the first half. And I, quite honestly, can't get over it. Some of the mistakes in that first half, you know, you miss some shots. That's okay. As long as you take the right shots, you know, you play the right way. What the Raptors did in the first half was not okay. It was an unprofessional approach to the game. Coming in here, coming home after a five-game road trip, got two wins out of it. Pretty happy with those two specific wins. You know, could have gotten more. A couple of frustrating losses, but still competed in four of those five games. Even that Pistons game, I mean, that was frustrating. That was the most frustrating game of the year until what the Raptors did in the first half here, which was genuinely... It's the kind of stuff that makes you turn the TV off. All right, I guess if fans were in here, it was the kind of stuff that people would leave. Because they were down 30 at halftime, down by as many as 34 points in the first half. And who were they playing on the Blazers? This is a shorthanded Blazers team. This is an off year for the Blazers. Blazers have five road wins all season coming into this game. Now, they had a great game against the Celtics to come back on them. So you would think, wow, this is a bit of a warning call. This team is not bad. And honestly, you might look at it like, okay, yeah, shorthanded Blazers team, haven't thought about them this year. Starting five wasn't bad. Anthony Simons is decent. CJ McCollum is pretty good. Yusuf Nurkic, definitely pretty good. Robert Covington, you know, he can be active defensively. You know, Nasir Little, he's had a really nice year so far. That's not a bad starting five. It's not their best starting five. They don't have Norm. They don't have Dame, obviously. But this is a decent-ish team. And so I didn't understand for the life of me why the Raptors came in here thinking that they were about to play, you know, a bunch of, like, high schoolers or something. Because that's how they treated the first half. That's how they treated the warm-ups before that. And I had a bad feeling about this. I'm not saying that I knew they were going to be down 34. I had a bad feeling. I thought the Raptors were not going to take it seriously, even just watching what they were doing before the game. A minute before tip-off, literally running a clock, right? Right before the tip-off. 1 minute before the tip-off, you have Isak Bonga and Malachi Flynn taking half-court shots. You have Pascal in the tunnel throwing long touchdown passes to Fred to take a half-court shot, like they're Stephen Clay or something. Focus on the game. I saw Gary brick a dunk in warm-ups. Okay? And I'm just like, look, I understand. This is warm-ups, whatever. People are going loosey-goosey, whatever. They're feeling good after the win. Take it seriously. The focus was not there. And immediately what happens? They're down 22-4 right away. And in the course of the first half, and these plays are just from the first half alone, because the second half, clearly a different story. Raptors really made a concerted effort and cut the gap before losing this game by 9 points. Let me just read you some of the plays that occurred in the first half. And I'm trying to be equal to everybody because a lot of people made mistakes. So here we go. Gary Trent Jr. in the first quarter missed three fast break layups. Let me just say that again. He missed three fast break layups in one quarter. The Raptors were able to force some turnovers, get it to Gary in transition, and he missed three layups in the transition. Now, none of these were like super easy wide open layups, not uncontested layups, but still, these are layups in transition against a backpedaling defender. He missed three of these in the first quarter alone. Okay, OG Anunoby, first quarter, didn't really notice him. That's a problem, though, because, you know, clearly somebody needs to step up. Okay, second quarter, OG Anunoby double dribble for the second straight game. Why is he having such a hard time dribbling? To the point where he's double dribbling on a game-by-game basis. Right? OG Anunoby driving to the rim. He's blocked by CJ Ellerbe, who I was not that familiar with coming into this game. After this game, he must be the second coming of, I don't know, Ron Artest or something, based on the way he was defending the Raptors. OG Anunoby, wide open three off a kickout from Fred. Did all the hard work. OG is wide alone in the corner. Knocked down that three, OG. No. A brick. 1 of 7 from three for OG from three tonight. He was really disappointing. And then after that, bricking that wide open three, he at least chases down. He knows, oh, I just shot a brick. Let me go get the rebound. He anticipates, gets to, collects it, drives in, and he gets blocked on the drive by Yusuf Nurkic. A really bad game for OG Anunoby, who ends up fouling out. Pascal Siakam in the second quarter. So first quarter, Raptors had a hard time scoring. The Blazers played a ton of zone in this game. They were very smart, too, because the Raptors could not buy a shot for a long time. But Pascal Siakam, the one guy who was trying to drive inside against the defenders, 2 push-off fouls, which put him at 3 fouls 8 minutes in, at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, which meant he had to go sit for most of the half and watch as the Raptors gave up a 34-point lead in the first half alone. And not helping matters was Nick Nurse, who wasted one of his challenges on one of Pascal's push-offs, where it was very clear that he pushed off on this Blazers guy, right? One of their bench guys. Very clear. Even just watching, like, we basically have the same vantage point. It's an empty arena, okay? He's obviously closer, but, like, you know, you could see it very clearly that the defender was set and Pascal pushed off. He wastes a challenge in the second quarter. It had to be the quickest review I have ever seen. You know how people always want a quicker review, like, oh, what are they doing? Looking at this, replaying at 2-3 minutes, and, you know, got called Secaucus, because obviously people in Secaucus have better eyesight, so they can see the play better or whatever, right? They always got to refer to Secaucus. This was like one of those, like, they watched it one time, like a TikTok, and said, yep, that's it. It's a foul on Pascal, and Nick, you waste your challenge. And by the way, that challenge could have come in very handy, significant points in the second half. But forget that, okay? So Nick doesn't help matters. Pascal doesn't help matters. He got himself essentially thrown out of the game in the first half because, you know, you 3 fouls, 8 minutes to go in the quarter, you got to sit. Okay? You have Fred VanVleet missing a ton of shots, starting to jack up shots. It felt like the game wouldn't start until they got Fred a basket. And Fred was, I mean, look, I understand being aggressive with the shots. I understand with some of the other guys not playing well, whatever, right? And Fred, I thought, was the best player tonight for the Raptors. Well, that's not true. Pascal's the best player. But Fred was right there with him. It's like second half, he was really good. First half, though, was jacking them up. And then was so frustrated at one point, he took a foul intentionally after driving in, didn't get the call. Didn't get a lot of calls for Fred, only 3 personal fouls, or 3 free throw attempts. Fred complains to the ref, gets himself a tech, gets the Blazers a point, you know? And, I mean, Precious coming into the game, you know, as soon as Precious and Chris Boucher subbed into the game, which is usually what the first substitution would be, is those two guys coming in together. Blazers, very smart. Let's go to a zone defense. Because these guys can't make any plays against the zone. Chris can't, you know, make that many plays generally. Precious definitely can't make many plays. Let's put a zone out there. And what does Precious do? He catches the ball in the middle of the zone. Okay, that's the first step. Now what do you do? Survey your options. And I thought for sure he would see that Fred was wide open in the right corner. Like, wide open. And what does Precious do? Doesn't make that read. Drives in. Tries to finish a floater over Yusuf Nurkic, who is, like, 5 inches taller than him. Why? Make the smart play. And even when the Raptors occasionally scored, because the Raptors were, the starters were 3 of 25 at halftime. It was like that. Okay? But even as the Raptors scored one layup, I remember, in the second quarter, I forget who, for some reason, their transition defense was so bad after a make that the Blazers were able to run out and get an alley-oop finish off a make. That's the kind of play that got the Raptors down 34 points in the first half, down 30 at halftime. Now, you come out, you know what the Raptors are going to do. Come back. They're going to make a comeback because this is a team with some pride. Even though they didn't show in the first half, this is a team with some pride. Come out in the second half, comeback time. And honestly, on that front, that game was exciting because the Raptors did their best to cut into the lead, and they were able to turn a 34-point lead down to 4 points in the last minute and a half of the game. And at that point, you're fully in the game, right? You might not win that game. The odds are still against you. You're probably really tired, and they were, but you're in the game. So how do they get 34 down to 4? How do they shave 30 points off? Well, first off, a good start to the third quarter. A couple of plays that the Raptors really, really needed, okay? Because you got a Scotty 3 for the first basket of the second half. This came after Fred VanVleet beat two Blazers to the offensive rebound. First off, what is Fred doing on the offensive glass? Second of all, wow, he's small, and he beat two guys to the offensive rebound, kicked out to Scotty. Scotty hits a corner three. Then Gary Trent presses up into the ball handler, who pushes off on him. Gary draws the offensive foul. Great, a turnover. Then the next play down, after the turnover, Pascal, a hard drive to the rim. CJ McCollum has to take the foul. Pascal goes to the free throw line, hits the free throws. Then they get the ball to OG in the post. He posts up, you know, doing that little awkward post-up thing, and then goes up for the reverse layup, and he's able to score. Pretty good start. Okay, it was like right there. And then the Raptors had some uneasy moments. Because obviously when you're down by that much, Nick will go to a full court press. Right? We've seen this happen quite a bit. In fact, if you were going to take the recipe of that 30-point comeback by Kyle Lowry, right, the biggest comeback in franchise history that happened in the end of 2019, you know, they went to that full-court press, and the Raptors did go to the full-court press. Now, I thought at first there are some bad moments in their execution, you know. For example, CJ McCollum, a veteran who's seen all sorts of defenses, played in the league a long time, really happy to see him back, by the way. That lung thing was real scary, and he was, you know, clearly back to being very, very good today, made a number of tough shots. Quick, easy pass over the two defenders coming over to him at half court, and the Blazers able to score, you know. Or other plays where guys are able to cut in behind. So they give him a couple plays in the traps and stuff. But I still thought the traps were a good idea, especially because you just need to force a ton of turnovers and start to create some momentum. And the Raptors did a really great job of that. Their traps were really good, especially in the fourth quarter. They really locked in, and especially against the Blazers' reserve guards. They were able to force it. Now, I think one thing that the Blazers did that was very smart at the end of the game, Chauncey Billups being a point guard, is like, okay, you're going to trap me. I know you're going to full court trap me. I know you're going to, you know, double my ball handlers. Guess what? I'm going to put more ball handlers on the floor. So Dennis Smith Jr., even though he's not a starter, is going to come and close the game for me because I need guys who can handle the ball. So I got CJ. I got Dennis Smith Jr. Those are my two point guards on the floor. And then I got other guys who can kind of make a couple of plays and beat the press or whatever. And Simons is also there as an outlet. And Simons had two big threes at the end. But still, I'm skipping ahead. The Raptors are making this comeback, okay? And what else did they do well? Well, they started to hit some threes because first half, they were missing everything. Second half, much better. Scotty Barnes with three threes in a row in the third quarter, right? A lot of that was him being guarded by Yusuf Nurkic. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why the Raptors couldn't score in the first half was, well, first off, you know, they didn't play with a lot of energy and intensity at all. No purpose. Pascal got fouled, you know, was out with three fouls. So that's your best driver right there. But still, the other part is they couldn't score inside because the Blazers were playing a 2-3 zone for a long time. And also, Yusuf Nurkic was literally in the paint nonstop. Like, he wouldn't even step out to reset the three-second count. He wouldn't do that 2.9 stuff. He would do the 24 seconds in the lane stuff. Okay, now they called it once on him, and they were able to get the technical free throw. But literally, it was the whole game. He was in the paint the whole game. So why was he in the paint? Well, you don't have the guard, Scotty, at the three. And I would say he's right and wrong about that. Because Scotty obviously made the three threes in the third quarter. It was looking pretty good at that point. But at the same time, when you look at it overall, Scotty Barnes, after a game where all he did was play in the post, finish a little duck-ins, finish a little hoop shots, little scoop layups, whatever, right, around the basket, came off a career high. What did you do today? 3 of 11 from 3. The Raptors overall tonight, 54 three-point attempts. They took more threes than twos, and they barely got to the free throw line. Only 14 attempts. So that's the kind of performance that, you know, is a reflection of the way the Blazers played it in terms of their defensive strategy. And it clearly worked. But Scotty with three threes in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter, that was nice. I thought the Raptors did a good job of bringing other guys to sort of help them. They extended the rotation a little bit. Guys got some looks, right? And by guys, I don't mean everybody, because Nick's not going to play everybody. But Precious's minutes were cut. Chris's minutes were cut. We've seen him routinely up in that 35-minute range. Precious only played 15 a day. Honestly, all 15 were bad. He was a minus 14. Ugh, bad performance. Chris had some good moments in the first half, knocked down some threes, got some offensive rebounds, but he also made a lot of bad gambles, I thought, and wasn't involved much in the second half. Delano came in. You know, I thought Delano was good. He pushed the pace, which I think was really needed, right? You needed somebody to also put a lot of length on the floor, especially against guards, and the Raptors were doing a lot of trapping. Delano did a good job of that. Now, I think the one area Delano was struggling was when a guy tried to drive on him one-on-one, especially Dennis Smith Jr., he scored on him one-on-one on straight line drives. And one time, Delano had to, allowed the blow by. Someone had to commit the foul at the rim to prevent the layup. Another time, Dennis Smith Jr. just went right by him, right? So the on-ball defense for Delano still needs improvement, but the team defense, especially for that scheme of forcing things in transition and sort of playing fast and also trapping and whatever, Delano played really well. He hit a corner three as well. 2 of 4, his best shift in a while, right? 2 steals as well for him, which is great. Justin Champagne came in. He was really nice in his shift. Hit 2 threes, 2 of 2 from three, obviously both wide open. But he was also really active at the top of that zone, and the top of that trap. 2 steals in his 8 minutes. And those are the most valuable things. If you are going to make this comeback from that far out, you need to create these kind of opportunities. Just like in that game where, it was Malcolm Miller and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on these guys. Justin Champagne was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. And Delano Banton was, I guess, Malcolm Miller. These kind of guys are coming in and giving that energy. And then at that point, it's just, can you knock down some threes? And the Raptors did start to finally take the lid off the rim with their three-point shooting. Gary Trent Jr. knocking down 2 key threes in the fourth quarter. Fred knocking down some key threes. You can always count on Fred to hit some really, really clutch threes. And then the other part is just Pascal was able to play again because he didn't commit. He only committed 1 foul in the second half after committing 3 in the first half. And Pascal unleashed, was able to just score at the rim nonstop. He kept getting to the basket. He was relentless. His energy was incredible. There was one play where Pascal scored 3 straight layups in a row. And one of those was Fred stripping the ball off an inbound and all this stuff. And Fred's energy in the second half was incredible. 5 steals for Fred VanVleet. And even though he's missing some shots, you can't question his energy whatsoever. But Pascal started getting to the rim, starting able to finish over guys, and they just kept cutting it down. And, Fred hit a 3 to cut it down to 11 in the fourth quarter. Pascal hit a driving layup, cut it to 10. Pascal in the post, double team, kick out, cross court to Gary Trent Jr., hits a 3, it's 8 points. Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic comes in the post, a rip through move on OG Anunoby, and 1. He just flipped it up there and went in. And also, I don't know if they're supposed to stop calling that call, but they did it, right? And he made that. Fred VanVleet though was able to respond right away, come back down the floor, fadeaway jumper, cut it back down to 8. Gary Trent Jr., he's relocating for 3 after Scotty is doubled in the post. He kicks it out to Gary. It's a 5-point game, and then Fred VanVleet hits a pull-up 3 after just running up the floor, and that made it a 4-point game with about 2 minutes left. And that's where, they were able to, make their hay in terms of just trapping in full court and all this sort of desperation kind of play, and it really worked for them up until that point. And then, unfortunately, they got burned because one of the strategies in terms of, when you do this for an extended period of time, first off, there's the element of surprise at first, right? Okay, wow, they're putting a lot of pressure on me. I have to figure out how do I beat this. So you have a couple of timeouts to use, and Chauncey Billups used his timeouts. He also made his subs, put in more ball handlers on the floor, and were able to position his guys, and those guys were able to get it eventually. And so they started beating the Raptors traps. And at the end of the game, after the Raptors got it down to 4 from Fred's 3, they were trapping. They got ahead to they beat the trap by making some quick passes, and then they were able to find Anfernee Simons in the corner all alone for 3. And Simons did not shoot the ball efficiently overall. When you look at his numbers, right, he was 6 of 18, but 5 of those 6 makes were from 3, and he made a key corner 3 there to bring the lead back up to 7, and then another play where the Raptors were unable to contain the Blazers and unable to force a turnover, and Simons was able to hit a more contested look but still hit another 3 to cut it to 10 points, and at that point, it was over. Fred made a couple of other incredible plays, and Pascal got 2 layups, and they cut it down to 6, but that was the game. And when you look back on it, I think a couple of things. Number one, the Raptors just got to, create their own energy. There was a play in the second quarter where Pascal picked up one of his 2 offensive fouls, which sent him to the bench. And the Blazers bench were all on their feet celebrating the play. The guy who took the charge is pointing at them, and everyone's just real hype. And you look over to the Raptors bench, nobody's standing, no one creating any energy whatsoever. It genuinely had the vibe of if you are taking the 7 a.m. bus to work on the TTC, and how everyone is just packed, sitting there, tired, sleepy, groggy. No one's making any noise. Everyone's just trying to, like, make it through. You know, it's cramped. Like, that's what it was. There was no energy at all from the Raptors bench. And overall in the game, no energy from them. And the thing is, like, I don't know, man. I don't need you to come up there and be the mascot. Like, you know, that's what the mascot is for. But for some of these guys who don't even play, can you at least stand up and make some noise and try to, like, get them involved? You know, like Bonga and Flynn. All they did today was practice half-court shots a minute before tip. Can they not stand up and cheer and just, like, bring some energy, bring some life to the game? All they talk about is, hey, it's an empty arena. We know this. It's not the first time the Raptors played in an empty arena. They played in more empty arenas this year than any other team, clearly. The Raptors are the only team that have the empty arenas. So you know you have to create energy for games like this. You know it's hard to start in games like this, and yet no energy whatsoever from the team. And then the other part is just the starters got to do better. Like, more than anything else, the starters let them down. Because as I went through the mistakes there, you know, Fred was missing a lot of shots, and they were really force-feeding Fred. Gary was missing everything, and including transition layups, and wasn't doing much in terms of even defensively. Only one steal today, you know, three turnovers, not good. You know, Pascal getting himself into foul trouble and not playing, right? You can't be a leader if you're not on the floor. OG Anunoby missing opportunities, and I just mean missing opportunities, key opportunities. He was probably the most frustrating player for me today, because when he looks to create, I don't know if he has the right game plan in mind. I really don't. For example, I mean, this is a maybe perhaps unfair, but the Raptors are down 10 points after the Blazers get back-to-back threes from Simons to push from 4 to 10 in terms of their lead. They inbound the ball to OG. He's open in the corner. He turns down that shot, and instead he tries to drive along the baseline where there's Nurkic waiting for him, another defender waiting for him. What are you doing driving that ball? And it didn't go anywhere. Right, the Raptors ended up scoring, but it was not because the OG drove in the lane. He drove stuck in the lane. You're down 10 with a minute plus left. Just shoot the three. But, of course, you can't shoot the three necessarily because he's 1-for-7 from three. He's been off from three. And I don't know. It's just the starters didn't get him off to a good start whatsoever. And I don't know what they need to do, but it seemed like they got a nice push when Boucher came into the game. He changed the energy of the game for a bit. You know, but that was short-lived. I thought Delano gave them a shot in the arm. That was short-lived. Justin did the same thing. That was short-lived. Utah played 2 minutes, you know, did nothing. Literally gave you the Tony Snell stat line against Tony Snell, who was on the opposite bench. Like, they got to do better. And I don't know how many times this has been said on the show this year, but you're not that nice. You're just not. Like, the Raptors got to play with that kind of intensity that they showed in the second half. Not the, like, the, oh yeah, we're just gonna come through and steamroll a team. The Raptors don't have the kind of talent to just come through and walk in and steamroll any team. No offense, but, like, even Detroit coming in here, even OKC coming in here, they don't have the talent to steamroll those kind of guys. Even Orlando came in here and gave them a really hard game. And Orlando is just terrible. Right? So the Raptors always need to remember who they are. And every time they feel like they're starting to feel themselves, they start to sort of be loose and whatever, you know, the reality kind of smacks them in the face. And it'd be really great if they could just step off this cycle and not put themselves in these positions. Don't play down to your opposition. Don't look at it like, oh yeah, that team, you know, they're not struggling this year, you know, like all this other stuff. This is a team that wins on hustle. And the best parts of this game was when the Raptors were hustling. And I really, really commend the guys for the fight that they showed to make up for the mistakes. Because everyone's going to make some mistakes eventually, but it's really how you respond to them. And the Raptors did respond well to that, but ultimately, it's a frustrating loss. It's another loss where the Raptors shouldn't have dropped the game, but they did. And no matter how good they looked in the second half, all you wished was that they did not come out like that to begin the game. So, not to belabor the point too much, there's not that much else to say about it. I think, for me, my three stars from the game, I'm going to give Pascal the first star. I thought in the second half, he just was relentless going to the basket. Obviously, you would want to see this more in the first half. I thought the Blazers did a really good job guarding him in general, you know, keeping Nurkic in the lane, putting a pesky defender like Robert Covington on him. You know, this is difficult. This is really difficult to score against that, right? But I thought Pascal did a really good job within the second half, you know, taking his time. The Raptors did a better job of spacing it around him in the second half, making sure that he had space to play one-on-one. If he has space to play one-on-one, he's probably going to score, right? But, you know, at the start of the game, I thought he played poorly. First half obviously made no impact. Second half was incredible. His energy, finishing plays around the basket, the running out in transition, the contested drives, everything like that. He was great. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, 13 of 20 from the field, 34 minutes. Pretty great. Only downside to anything he did today was the fact that he committed those two offensive fouls early in the second quarter, which really, really put the Raptors in a hole because they had nobody to go to the basket at that point. Second star for me is going to Fred VanVleet. I know he's not shooting the three well right now. A lot of it is, honestly, he's just chucking. I know for him, he feels the responsibility of the team when they are really down. Someone's got to spark the team, and Fred feels that responsibility more than anyone else on the team. And I know for some people who dislike Fred, they'll say, well, why don't you let someone else spark the team? I'm sorry. A lot of these games, no one else is sparking the team. If Fred didn't turn the intensity of this game up, the Raptors would have lost this game by like 40 or 50. Like, that's really how lifeless the Raptors were. So they do over-rely on Fred for that. I wish other players had more of that character, felt more of that responsibility to make a comeback like that. Having said that, though, he is missing a lot of shots, too. There's some open threes that he's missing as well. And you might say he's tired. I don't even know, to be honest. But it is what it is right now, right? Guys got to come in and do something. If Delano, you know, by the way, Delano's been playing really well, just had 33 in the G League. You know, he's consistently getting down to the whole, downhill. I thought he played really well tonight in his 12 minutes. Okay, maybe that's a solution. You play a little bit of Delano, and maybe you can rest Fred a little bit. But really, you can rest Fred when the other guys start to play well and hold the leads without him. And they haven't been able to do that. And I thought Fred in the second half was a man possessed. I mean, he picked up his fifth foul. And this is what I was trying to say with Nick Nurse, you burning his challenge in the first half on nothing. Okay, he literally lit that thing on fire. There was a key play, which was Fred's fifth foul, where the Raptors were, you know, trapping, right? They were trapping full court, and then after even trapping full court, as long as they got the ball over half, whoever had the ball over half, that's where two guys were coming. And they were doing a really good job of trapping, making guys turn, making guys try to shield away from the defenders around a half court, which is the exact best place to do it, especially along the sidelines. Because then you have the two defenders on the ball, but you also have, you know, the out of bounds and also over and back. You know, so there's a lot of chances where the Raptors were able to force turnovers like that. So they got the Blazers got the ball to Nurkic in that position, and the Raptors were swarming him, and Fred pokes the ball free. And instead of that being a play where the Raptors run out, which was a very good opportunity for the Raptors to run out and score, that play was called a foul. And Nick had no chance to challenge that. And instead, I think the Blazers, they weren't in the bonus just yet, but I think they were able to score on that possession. It was a tough turn of events. Having said that, though, after that point where Fred picked up his fifth foul, he went from playing really aggressive defense to playing hyper-aggressive defense. Like, he was pressing everybody. And it was interesting because I felt like the refs didn't want to foul Fred out. Like, they were like, oh, you know what, my bad. That fifth foul was pretty cheap. I'm just going to let you have a little bit of leeway here. And Fred took all of that. And he was double-teaming everybody. It was honestly, like, when you watch back on the comeback, Fred was double-teaming every single player on the team. It was incredible. His energy was incredible. 5 steals, 4 for Fred, a block as well. He managed to be a +3 in this game. The Raptors, starters, -2 for Pascal. He was really good. OG, -11. He was bad. Scotty, -18 overall. Not that impactful. Gary Trent Jr., -10. He was not good, especially in the first half. Fourth quarter, he redeemed himself a little bit, but still not a good game for him overall. But Fred, +3. And it felt like that because he was really the one kind of turning the tide for the Raptors, and he hit a couple of late threes, as you always expect from him. And then your third star for me, I'm going to give that to Delano. I really like Delano coming into the game. I really think that the on-ball defense for him, he has a harder time containing guards on drives who drive right at him. The way Dennis Smith Jr. got by him today reminded me of the way Ricky Rubio would have gone by him in previous games against Cleveland. Now, of course, Ricky's unfortunately hurt, but still, like, that is an area of his game that I'm a little bit surprised by. But other than that, though, I thought his energy was great, was able to get the Raptors out in transition, hit a corner three, was great, got to the rim, ripped down four rebounds, you know, two assists, two steals, brought a lot of energy off the bench, and was a plus 14 in his 12 minutes. So I'm going to give Delano's the third star, but honestly, like, it shouldn't have been this hard, but it was this hard, and I think the Raptors will be quite upset at themselves, and hopefully they can try to redeem themselves after the next game. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, so many to pick from, but for me, I'm going to go with CJ Ellerbe. I understand that Ben McLemore torched the Raptors from three. This didn't surprise me because the Raptors have been torched by Ben McLemore before, back when he was playing on the Rockets and the Raptors lost a close game to Houston. Ben McLemore was shooting arrows into the crowd and stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, he can knock down a three. That's probably the only thing he can do at an NBA level, but he can definitely knock down a three, and the Raptors are very good at letting guys shoot from three, especially open threes. And by the way, the Blazers shot 18 of 32 from three overall in the field. That's pretty incredible. But I'll give it to CJ Ellerbe. I just thought his defense was really good. His on-ball defense was really good, stopping guys like OG, stopping guys like Pascal. And then he was also making a couple of plays. Like, he drove it right to the rim and put Pascal into the basket and scored a layup. So, yeah, he was good. 9 points, three rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block. But he played hard in 17 minutes off the bench. But, yeah, overall, just a regrettable game. The Raptors dropped back to 500. They're 22-22 on the season. And then that's the thing with, like, the Raptors not taking the Blazers seriously. Are you kidding me? Coming into this game, the Raptors had 22 wins. The Blazers had 19. And that was a down year for the Blazers. They have 19 wins. And you're going to take them lightly? Like, what are you doing? Right? And they have to find a way to start games better, because how many times this season have they come out flat? Even in the Wizards game, they came out flat. They were down like 10-2 or something, right? So they got to figure it out. I don't know if that means start changing the starting five, but, like, they got to do something, because you can't come out like this and put yourself in a hole. And they put themselves in a deep, deep hole. And now, granted, they almost dug themselves out of it. And if a couple key plays were made, and, you know, Simons misses that three, or even if the Blazers miss any threes, like, shooting 56% is from three is pretty incredible, no matter how open you are. Like, you could lock, like, at least half the Raptors in a gym and see if they can make 50% from three, and I don't think they'll make 50% from three. But still, you know, there was a game. The Raptors made this a game, and this game had no business being a game after the first half. So you got to at least give the Raptors some credit there. But still, I'm sure they feel quite frustrated and a lot of regret. And this is, I guess, part of being a young team or whatever. They're always going to say this, but realistically, some of the veterans were letting them down today. Like, you know, you can't say it's a part of a young team. Yeah, some of the young guys made mistakes. Some of the vets made mistakes too, and that's probably perhaps the most disappointing part of this. So for the whole team, they got to learn how to play in an empty arena. They got to learn how to, you know, be serious and start the game strong. Knicks got to make some better adjustments in terms of maybe you just play a different starting lineup if they're going to give you a bad start each time, and try to figure it out. But for now, the Raptors lose, and it's a frustrating game. I understand. I'm sorry. It's not a very pleasant listen, I imagine, but it was not a very pleasant game to watch or cover, quite frankly. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, please continue to rate, review, and subscribe, and you can catch the Raptors show Monday to Friday between 2 and 3 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with myself and Alex Wong. So I'll be back after the next game, and of course I'll be back on Monday to do the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.